Welcome, I'm Jan, your host of the Uncovering the Seniors podcast. In today's episode, our guests were Randy Pontoppidan, Guru Tweitnes, and Johanna Sulkun of Icky. Icky is a Copenhagen-based vocal group that focuses on improvised music. They have been working for 11 years now, so they also developed and changed their style and focus over the years. So we will speak about the past, the present and future of this fascinating project. We will also speak about some collaborations they did and lots of fun memories and little stories. It's a really joyful episode in my opinion, so I hope it will put a smile on your face like it did on mine. Let's get right into it.
Hey and welcome. So great that you are here. We have Icky here. We have Randy, Guru and Johanna from Icky. But that's not the complete band, is that correct? We have you have two more members, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Correct.
Yeah.
Who is that if I...
Yeah, we have Anna Musa, who is currently on mother's leave.
Yeah.
And then we have Camilla Kovacs, who couldn't be here today.
Yeah.
So we're usually five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably good that we're not all five, because it would be really small in here, I guess.
Yeah. Yes, it's very cozy here.
Yeah. Did you have a school concert, or you wrote something? You had a performance this morning?
Yeah, it's true. We're on tour now with Levende Musik I Skolen.
Yeah.
It is. So we're actually playing as a 26 altogether, 26 concerts.
In a row?
Luckily not. We were playing 11.
It's a marathon.
Yeah, 11 concerts last week, and then We're continuing.
We have 3 concerts today and tomorrow, and then we will have 3 days in December, and then we have some in March. So it's put a little out there also because of Corona. Yeah. So.
Oh yeah, of course.
You have to social distance the concerts. They can't be too tight.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, but wonderful. So the music. Let's speak about the music of Icky. Mm-hmm. What is Icky? What did you present this morning, but maybe more in general? Where did it start? You have 3 wonderful albums out. But what is Icky?
It's a big question.
Big question, always, yeah. But we started at 2009 when we met at the Rhythmic Conservatory of Copenhagen. And at that time we were 9 vocalists. So actually we were more, I think, at the very beginning, because it was just like an open jam session kind of. We started with vocals, and every week we met, and then somehow the 9 of us just kept on coming to those sessions, and then we had a first concert
November 2009.
Yeah, and then we kind of said that okay, now we actually need to have make it as a band, because we have a concert and we need to make some arrangements around that.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the very start of Icky.
Mm.
Yeah, I remember an old poster where there were probably 9 faces on from a concert I think you did in Iceland or something.
I had the one with like the collage ice and that was our very first one that we ever got made. Very, very excited and proud of it.
Yes.
It was a great poster. Yeah. It used to hang here in this house. But
I think it's Mede was here.
But that's some time ago.
Yeah, it's a long time ago. I mean, that's also the funny thing. It's like truly like a band that wasn't started as a band, which I think is also why... Well, it's always been very like democratic in structure. Because it's never been like there's one band leader and then who created it. It was just like it just kind of grew organically from these sessions that we had together. And then it became very, like you said, very clear about like who wanted to do this and who was really like burning, like, yes, let's do free impro.
Mm-hmm.
And then but it was a huge, I mean, enormous band, like just an amount of people to go on tour with.
Yes.
So it's in that sense, it's nice to be.
Yeah, now we're a bit more like a band.
Yeah.
Or it feels like that.
Yeah.
But it was fun, definitely.
That was amazing.
Also at that time.
So the first album, the self-titled, Iki. Mm. How many are on that album then?
We're 9.
Yeah, all 9. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that's completely acoustic. Exactly. Or, I mean, yeah. And then only
the vocals only.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And we did like 3 days of complete free impro in the studio of what's it called? The Village. And then we just kind of like. This super masochistic way of making an album where you then make so much music that you then have to sit and listen to 20 hours of music afterwards.
And judge it.
And then judge and be like, is this good? Is this bad? Yeah. It's like a really intense.
Yeah.
And that with 9 people.
Yeah.
And 9 opinions.
Also that. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
We're trying to do that with 3.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you can imagine. That's quite a bit of work.
Yeah.
But the work paid off.
I think so, yeah.
Because we won with that first album, we won the Danish Music Award.
Yeah.
So that was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay, now we really have to do this.
That's a great start to have the first album directly become the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which Danish Music Award was it? Album of the...
Vocal Jazz release of the album.
Vocal Jazz,
yeah. That was kind of, I think, what we tried to escape a little bit. Of,
And then we're like, okay, here's a stamp.
Yeah, but never mind.
And the next album you had this stamp on.
We made stickers. Yeah. We were like, we have to use this for promotion.
Yeah.
This is gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the only way to play it when you get these awards, even though you know maybe it's the right term. I don't know.
It's hard. I mean, that's the thing with what we're doing, especially is like we get that question a lot. What kind of music is it? Like just today, at the school, they were like, "What kind of music is this?" And we're like, "We don't know."
That's the favorite question of every musician.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What would you describe your music as?
Yeah.
And we don't really care, actually. Yeah. That's not so important for us, but
we want
it
to
is,
touch so. People and
do
our thing.
Yeah, yeah. And develop all the
developing
time in different directions. And
But I think
together.
I think it, like,
together.
There, same time. But you can instead of like trying to escape it, you can rebrand it in the sense that you can say instead of trying to find a genre, I'll say that we're not a genre, we don't care about your genre. You can say we're interested in this process of doing something, right?
Exactly.
Which has been tried with this free impro term, but it still turns into
a
genre.
That's true.
So we should say like we are playing free. That's not, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe there is a way to change that, to talk about what you're actually interested in, which is the doing or baking the cake without a recipe or whatever.
Yeah,
it is,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the cake genre.
Yeah.
But it's like composing on the spot.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we are aiming on and working on all the time to really make music that having this reflected awareness. And that is something that you really have to work on to be able to have it on stage.
Mm.
So you can't, you have, it's a way of living also to improvise or be at the moment. And I think that's something that we all are working with. And
for sure.
Because we were just speaking about the first album, the self-titled one. Some of the pieces on there sound quite composed to my ear.
Yeah, but they're not.
They're completely improvised in the moment.
But that was also, I think, back then, or I remember at least, it was like we had this really like, whoa, this is crazy experience when we realized that we could actually create what I guess some people would call like a song through improvisation. Do you remember that, Johanna? Yeah, we had like some session where we were like, you can sing the bass line. And now when I do this, I make chords. And then, oh my gosh, you do something with lyrics. And then that's the melody. Whoa, we made a song. And it was like, we really were tripping. Just when we made like lyrics for the first time when Sophie was doing something.
On
like...
spots and,
And I mean, everyone is picking up the lyrics and stuff, right? Like, because some... like singing the lyrics together sections.
We made one choir thing that I remember.
Unison Frustration.
Yeah.
Is it the one with the mermaid?
Yeah, we overdubbed.
That's the only thing I think. And then we made some background noise, I remember, with some idea of traffic or something. I can't remember anymore. But when we all talked, like blah, 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 blah.
Ah, yeah.
Just some texture of a speech.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah,
but
true.
Those two things were like overdubbed, but otherwise it was all just plain improvisation.
Yeah. But I think also, you know, that which is really special for Iki, or at least like for me in Iki, is like this sense of having played together so much that you get this kind of telepathic connection.
Yeah.
Because like, and especially because we're all singers and we can relate to each other on that level. Like you reach some kind of thing where you can just like really create what sounds like very complex compositions because you hear a cue and then you know where they're going.
Yeah.
Which was what we really tried to do in the beginning, especially. And then, you know, you go through a period where you're like, now it's boring. Now let's go back to doing more abstract or like.
Yeah, let's break all the rules again.
Yeah,
and then, you know, all this kind of process of like building some kind of rules and practicing them and then breaking it apart and making something new. And I think we've gone that loop like several times
but
around.
Is that a conscious thing that you, you decide as a group that we don't like care for this thing right now and then you steer away from it? Or is that just also through individuals, each individual's when you improvise that, I don't care for singing melodies, so that's why I don't sing melodies for half a year or whatever.
Both. I think it's always like an individual process you go through, but it's also like we really made some strict rules when we noticed that, okay, now we're just, every time we're having a concert, we're doing the same thing, so can we just like...
Stay away.
Stay away from that. It's starting to be really annoying.
Yeah.
So then we just agreed that now...
letting the music... show,
yeah,
you know, and then it's also about having a direction, and that you have really somewhere you are going, but you don't know the way to come there.
Mm.
But if everybody have this energy, and I think so, even that if you hear somebody coming with the melody, what does the music need? You know.
Mm.
Then it doesn't need us all going for the melody. I mean, maybe it needs another texture, or it needs a bass, or it needs some kind of different mood. And if the music is not working, you have to have tools to change it and know where to turn the ship. And I mean, I'm quite new in Iki, but I have been improvised all my life and is working with different things.
Yeah.
And But
I think as a band, we've built a long time this like vocabulary that where we where we have like strict rules and now we're sticking to that just to create something new or to avoid something, so that we need to figure out another way or another route. And and these kind of things we worked a lot.
Yes.
A lot of years. And still we are working when we are.
Of course.
You get bored on the same things that you repeat.
I remember like Mirsko, who was in the band a while ago, she remember, like, it was like during one of our first years, she at some point said like, if any of you sing like downward turning glissandos one more time, I'm gonna quit this band.
Yes, I can imagine.
And we were like, okay, we're not gonna do glissandos ever again.
Yeah.
And then we didn't sing glissandos for 7 years.
Yeah.
Because we were like, okay,
Now we could do it again, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it's these things, you know, when, especially like when you get an insecure on the stage or something, and then you like, or we don't know exactly where to go, then you just fall into those habits.
Yeah.
There is the glissando, let's do that.
Yeah, things that you have to work on again and again.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's also why it's really so cool, because we all want to change and make this happening in the middle of the five of us.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fun that the downward glissando is a safety net. As a guitar player, I've never thought that.
I don't. It's also funny because it's so long. I can't even remember how it sounded. But I think we just had a pair where we were just like,
somebody here.
And then Mary was just like, I've had it up to here.
Shoot that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and it came like so like from her core. Oh, yeah. It was really like this kind of primal.
Yeah. But it's also like we copy each other
a
lot.
Thing. Yeah.
So when somebody comes up with a new sound, then everybody's like, whoa, what was that? And then at some point, everybody's like finding themselves recreating that sound. So it's like,
I guess imitation is even more, it's quicker and more natural and maybe happens without thinking of it. I've noticed that when I hang around with people who speak different languages, I pick up stuff or dialects.
Mm. Yeah.
You pick up so quickly.
Yeah.
And I guess it's like that. Very much for you as a vocalist, even more, much more than for instrumentalist.
Yeah, I think so.
I guess so. And then you just need to be really aware when you're doing it and when you shouldn't do it. Because, of course, it doesn't work if we all try to sound the same. Or
I never had that experience with playing with a lot of drums and then picking up the same phrase over and over. I'm just trying to imagine that right now.
Yeah.
Like 9 drummers and then someone plays a cool phrase and everyone going, whoa!
I think
it could be super cool,
actually,
right?
But could maybe be really interesting.
Yeah.
It could be awesome.
But I think the thing is, it's probably even more subtle. It's like, you play and then you realize, wait, I'm doing the same thing.
That's with drums, I guess. Like
no, not with
falling
drums,
into
the
same rhythm.
Would be very often with it. I imagine.
But I don't think it happens like that anymore.
No.
I mean, because we are so experienced
and
working with this and that if you do it, then it's on purpose or it's needed that the music wants it.
Yeah.
So I think that's...
Yeah.
Or
sometimes you're just like, the music will be fine. I really want to do this sound. That also sometimes happens.
Yes.
You know, like,
of course.
The music will probably deal. It's cool. I just really want to make this sound right now.
Yeah.
But it's true. I also think, I don't think it happens like subtly so much anymore, as you say, because we're so hyper, or not hyper aware, but we're maybe so experienced in doing it that we... are just very conscious.
And also maybe speaking is like this thing that you just do and it's in the back of your head and you're not really always focused.
Yeah.
But when you're a trained singer, it's not the same as speaking.
I think it's just interesting.
My theory is that.
No, but also, I mean, you're right in the sense that I know that sometimes, for example, if you do background or like there's clearly one who's in the lead at the thing, then you clearly, or sometimes at least, you like as the, how do you say, like the background or whoever's doing like the carpet
texture.
Underneath, will kind of try to blend to each other. And that I don't know if that's always like a conscious, like, oh, now I'm gonna blend. I think it's just something that you do because you kind of, it just comes like instinctively. So in that sense, you shouldn't discount your...
But I think...
Maybe, sorry.
I mean, you want to be on the same kind of level or same kind of... feeling or in emotions and everything. I mean, that's also why it's very good for us just to meet. I mean, you need to be together before and feel, okay, how are everybody? And we talk, you know, so you really feel, okay, now we are ready. And then we begin, you know. So this...
And now it's, of course, more about that, actually, than about like... when we talked about starting the band and nerding with voice, and we were all studying voice and also teaching a lot of voice and it's very interesting instrument actually because you can do so many things with it and it's also used as a tool for communication and all extended techniques and all the different cultures how they use the voice and there's just a huge amount of research you can do around it and I think that's still where we are kind of all the time researching and when you teach all the voices are different and all the bodies are built differently and it's never like you take a piano keys, you kind of know what's coming out, but with voice, it's a little more complex because there's also your personality and your mental state and everything affects
everybody
what comes
is
out.
Different.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's not built by machines. Like,
not at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm thinking like this process that you describe of like developing and ever always looking for something to change and to improve or to keep it interesting. It's as a complete outsider, when I look at the three albums you brought out, they are distinctively different. They have very different concept, right? The first one is very puristic in the approach of using only vocals. Then the second one has instruments on it.
Yeah, Hilmar Jensson.
Yeah. Mm. So that was, can you maybe speak a bit about that? Was that, I mean, obviously it was a conscious decision, but what is the...
Yeah, I mean, was it a it's also funny because some of the decisions that we do have made in Ikki is kind of like the result of someone being like, hey, would that be cool? Yeah, that sounds fun. You know?
Let's do it.
And then that was what happened, I think, with Lava, the second album, which like Anna Maria Bjørnsdottir, our Icelandic member at the time, she was like, we could probably ask Hilmar Jensson to play guitar on the album. And we were like, sounds great, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, there we started developing like the concept. Mm. And...
But we also had a connection with Iceland at that point. We were allowed there. Going there, and it was kind of natural that, yeah, of course, we should work with some Icelandic person. And then also like, nah, but we want something else than vocals all the time. And then...
Mm.
Yeah, then it just happened, and
mm.
I don't remember where we met him the first time, but somehow it was just like a natural lead to that album.
Yeah.
And we went to, what's the studio?
Old swimming pool.
So we spent a lot of time in there. Can't remember how many days.
Oh, it's like 3 days maybe so.
And then we also spent some time in the nature with Hilmar, walking around and you know, it doing all really kinds of exercises. So that was really, really nice and something new for the band.
Yeah.
Just to bring it somewhere else.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it was really like going deep in, and it was also a lot of stuff happening in people's lives at the time. And I think you can also hear it, or and I hear that album. I can hear there's kind of like, for me it's a very dark album, like it's there's a lot of lava in it, like this kind of smoldering, and makes it also interesting. I think the first one for me is like very idealistic and like we're free improvisers, woo, and then the second is like, oh, we're free improvisers. emo period.
Yeah, it was a bit like that.
Yeah,
also a lot of boiling underneath.
A lot of
tensions kind of
that came out in this music that became like it's my favorite album I think that we've ever made.
Mm.
It's like also the underdog, maybe that's why I love it.
Yeah.
What time of the year did you record it in? Because Iceland is so strong in its nature.
I remember because I was pregnant.
Yeah, you were very pregnant at the time. So
it was like the last thing I did. I think it was August.
Yeah, I think August. That's true.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. So the most nice time of Icelandic weather.
Yeah,
it was so amazing. Cold. It was really cold.
Freezing.
But it was like this. No, but I'm like in the
best
way.
We were freezing all the time. It was great.
We were dying. No, but I think, and that one is maybe the one that has been like, or it had a very different process in the sense that we wrote lyrics for it. Or at least some of us did.
On the spot.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like...
I think also some people like wrote them in advance. Okay. But actually, I don't think...
I did on the spot.
No. No,
that's true. Yeah.
No, because the thing is... Okay, here's... I remember I did write a lyric, but it is one of the songs that got cut.
Oh my God.
So my song, I'm not bitter. Justice
all
for that song.
All the cold among
No, but you know, it's like we went through a phase there where we were really into working with lyrics.
Yeah, that's true.
And so we just had this thing like, maybe let's try to write some stuff. And then some of that, I think maybe Sophie's for Ali.
Mm.
I think that maybe it was written. Can't remember.
No. Anyways, it was a theme for this album, kind of lyrics.
Lyrics
somehow, yeah.
And then with the guitar and like Hilmar, we're realizing that we sing a lot on quarter tones.
Yeah.
And, every time we started a tune, it was like, trying to tune.
And then we were like, wow, so cool with the noise thing that you did. Yeah, I couldn't play any tones. It was impossible. But it was a very different. I mean, everything that we do is very different, I think, which is also the part of our way of working, like the free improvisation thing, or maybe that we also just get bored easily and we want to do something new and something that excites us.
Mm-hmm.
Also a band that is possible. That's why we also
love
it.
Yeah. Can do whatever.
Yeah, it kind of keeps fresh because it's always different.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as just a listener, the three albums are very different.
Very.
And I think it's super cool. They also have quite some years between them, so it is. I'm like when I looked at it and everything, and I listened to it, I sometimes thought, what happened in between those years, because there's not so much released in between. So I was just wondering if like maybe you totally went to a different direction that's like lost forever.
It's a good question. Can't remember.
But then we went to Belgium and did things.
Yeah, that's true. 2016.
Yeah, we had a lot of.
That's
where I started.
Yeah, that's true.
So and that that is not recorded, you know. So.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about it.
It is recorded. We recorded. It's a Belgian singer called Sander De Vinne, who made a. With his Sander De Vinne. Ik woon in Belgium.
Yes.
I live in Belgium, so my Flemish is
very impressive.
Very impressive, thank you.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah. No, but No, but Sander then invited us to join on his album because we met at a we met at like a bar in
Berlin.
Yeah. We played in
where you meet Flemish people.
Yeah, exactly. It's like perfect. And then are just like you meet one night and then he's like, hey, do you want to come and sing on my album? We were like, yes, sure.
We're coming.
Yeah. We will figure it out when we get there. And then we did that, which was, very like written out choir stuff. And then he invited us to go on a tour for a month, a Jazz Lab tour in Belgium in 2016. So I guess that's what we did in between.
Mm. Yeah. And the first years we played a lot of concerts.
Extreme amounts.
It was just about playing, basically.
Yeah. We said yes to everything.
Yeah, and we played so much.
Yeah.
And then, the second album, when did that come out?
Yeah, 2014, no? Well,
nah.
No, is that true? 2015.
We can,
I don't know, 15 maybe or something. Yeah.
14.
Wow.
Okay. Internet tells me.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, 14. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And then,
16 was the Belgium thing. And then 2018
was Oracle.
Yeah, so it's not,
yeah. Yeah, we also released.
So that's actually, every 2 years.
Yeah.
If that Belgium thing would have been released.
No, it was released. It's just not on Spotify.
Ah.
Yeah,
but it was on a label and.
They had the Werf.
Oh, yeah, it's on the Werf, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's on release. It was the first vocal album ever made at the Werf.
Yeah.
So, but I think I will tell Sander to put it on Spotify when I come back to Belgium.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
And then we also made an EP together with him, actually, that we released as under Iki.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So which is due.
That's
going
on.
Yeah. But I think, we just had like periods where I moved back to Norway after conservatory, and then Anna-Maria moved to Iceland.
Sophie
and then,
lived in Philadelphia.
Yeah, people
Camilla
got kids.
In Berlin,
so I think
been a lot of movement in the band in that way.
So that's also this in the sense that that's why it's not always been like consistent output, always. But, the need to kind of stay together as a band has kind of overridden. Like, quitting was never an option. Like, you're kind of like, I moved to Norway. Are you still going to be in the band? Yes, of course. I mean, it's going to stop.
In for life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then you did this collaboration with this producer. Is that
Mike? Mike Sheridan.
Yeah, that started actually when we had a gig in Vega. Do you remember with Jörn Lett?
Yeah, that's true. He played the Glasser again.
Yes,
he yes.
played there. Mike played on the Crystal Machine.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
then Jörn Lett was... Yeah, I mean, that was... And
that
then
was very
we
funny.
Were, and then we were performing
yeah,
with,
that's
with
true.
Them and we met like, yeah. yeah, the first time on stage, actually,
yeah.
kind of.
Yeah, no, sorry, the reason why I'm laughing is just Jörn Lett is very... I mean, he was like... If you know who Jörn Lett... He is really into like the younger... Like the young, beautiful women on stage. He was like in the middle of our... We were like, ah! And then he was like, no, no. But he just stopped then. Like he told the audience while we were singing, Mini Dame are here! Icky! And then they started applauding. We were just like, ah! So he was just very enthusiastic. He thought we
yeah.
were great.
Yeah,
that's
but
the
it was
funny,
a funny
sorry.
Match, I think. We were also dressed with this like leather. We were like kind of very... strong
yeah.
makeup and leather
very like yeah
very dark
yeah
kind of
that was before the masks
yeah.
that you wear now
yeah
but then Mike was also on stage that evening
playing
with us
Crystal Boucher,
yeah
so
exactly.
that was kind of and then we were like oh that was really nice like to hear that tones and the yeah something in it worked
and he
well.
Really liked what we were doing
yeah
mm.
so then we also thought like because we are so democratic band, so it can also be a little slow sometimes because nobody's taking the lead and nobody wants to take it alone. So it's like takes a lot of time to agree on things. So we were thinking like, yeah, maybe it would be nice to work with a producer just who takes like some of it, some of the decisions that we don't need to spend so much time on agreeing on everything all the time. So then we asked him to produce. To make the album, and then we were in studio with him. We had a lot of rehearsals with him, and then we
spent a lot of time trying to develop a language because the thought was that we were gonna do it acoustically. We're just gonna sing, and then he was gonna take our voices and do whatever he wanted to do with it. And so we spent a lot of time trying to figure out like a musical language that he also was excited about, because so that we didn't just do what we wanted to do, and then he was like, ugh. You know, which was really interesting because his ears were so different from ours. And I remember he was like, please, no trolls or dolphins. And we were like, what does trolls and dolphins mean? Like, he was like, yeah, you know, like the trolls, like, meh, 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 meh. And the dolphins, like, what's this dolphin thing?
Yeah.
But that was really like specific, like no trolls or dolphins, then I'm not in, then I don't want to do
it. Okay.
That was good. Then we also had like
really
a, then we were pushed to
that's
somewhere
filter,
else.
Yeah.
This is also so funny when you meet with people who are really, they're really musical and really good at music, but they're not been through this, this cavern of music, school. And then they try to speak to you and you speak and... It's just you don't speak the same language at all because you don't know all these words that we have so used to. I have this hip-hop friend and it's so fun to be in studio with him because he tells you absolutely insane stuff and you're like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
What? And then you're supposed to react to it like, this?
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's really great.
Yeah, I think that was really the experience that we had with Mike. And then, you know, as long as, when then you start like, ah, that's what you mean, actually.
Mm.
And we worked a lot with micro sounds, with like being very like super delicate in how you treat your sounds. And then he took it and just like, when we listened to the album, like I still don't know what I'm doing at that album. I can't hear. Like I can't
like
change
kind of...
like the different voices. It's like super hard to tell who is doing who sometime. It's
was
very...
it first after that you started taking pedals?
Yeah, that was it became like we wanted to be able to recreate the sound of Oracle. No,
yeah, but now I remember also what was one of the carrying thoughts behind that
album. Oh, please tell me.
Remembered. It was that we really wanted to be a unit.
Yeah, that's true.
Because before it was about lyrics, and then it was like we felt that it was too much like songs, and each was sang like a solo, and we got a little tired of that. So we really wanted to create like a unit and one instrument of the band. So that was one of the. And we tried to avoid texts and try to avoid like solo songs kind of.
Yeah.
So that was that's the work
true.
In progress. And I think now it the masks that we have now, it's also a result of this idea,
yeah,
actually, that
exactly,
we are
to be
more
a unit.
Unit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like representing the same.
Yeah.
But I think
instrument.
Oracle is really strong in that sense. It does...
Mm.
It's not one voice picking out and doing something here so much. It's more like this unity thing.
Exactly.
Mm.
I really like the album a lot. It's awesome.
It's really nice. Really happy with. I mean, I think that the way Mike worked it out at the end, it feels very icky, even though he kind of made the songs or what you... Yeah, because he kind of structured it in his own way. But it still feels very much like... Yeah, it feels very right, like in what are.
Yeah, and I think we are still on that same path in a way that we are working on a lot of textural things together, and we're working on like as a unit maybe more now than because there was this period where everybody was going for their own solo careers as well, and then like not to bring that into Iki when you used to be a lead singer in your own project, it can be a challenge not to take that position like. Always doing the solos and doing the and that was never the point in Iki actually to do that, but it automatically drifted a little bit to that direction at some point, so then we kind of wanted to recreate that and start from another angle and really work on being together in a unit
So I was still studying at the RMC, and Mike gave actually a masterclass, and that was right in the time when he was working on Oracle.
Oh, really?
So he actually showed one of the raw recordings.
Oh, interesting.
Wow.
One of the sessions or like something that you recorded.
Yeah.
And he showed it, and then he showed what he did with it, which was super interesting.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first time I met Mike, and... that was super cool. It was, I forgot which song it was, but it was the one where you go really like trance-like into a...
I feel like that's that entire album.
Yeah. No, it's true. That's probably also one reason why I love it so much.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Reflex.
Ah, yeah, which is also the one that we do now live when we play concerts. Because it has this very concrete theme.
Which is really powerful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, which is also really interesting because I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, because you heard the the acoustic theme, but that was also
like,
just like the theme was kind of like just made separately, no? And then he kind of blended it together with this like textures. I have no idea.
It's at least 3 years ago that I that moment, and I heard it once, right?
But
I remember that listening to the, because he played the raw recording first, and I remember listening to it and being like, holy, this is so good already, this is so powerful, and has like such a strong trance feeling and energetic feeling to it, like I wouldn't know at all what to do with it.
Yeah.
And then he was still in the middle of working on it, so what he showed, I thought like, yeah, this is great direction, but I'm not totally convinced yet. And then when the album came out, I was like, wow, okay. So that was, for me, also very interesting from this outside perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was also a very interesting album to make. Because we recorded it during the last presidential election in the US.
Okay. Mm.
So on our second day or third day in the studio, that was when Trump won. And I remember going into the studio being like, fuck, the world is falling apart.
Yeah.
And then you're just like allowed to just go into this cave of Iki that just makes you feel safe. And it was all about like being a unit and you can just like shut the world out for a little bit and just be together with your best friends making music that you love to make. And that was really strong.
Yeah.
I think that was really, also made it like even more of that unit, like sense of connection.
Yeah.
So now you have brought pedals in, you said, to live performance. Is that was that something that was new from the point of this album, or was that something that you all been working on separately? Or was it like decision when you heard the album, okay, this is what we want to do, we all need to figure out pedals now?
I mean, some of you, like, and Johanna, you had worked a bit with stuff before, no?
Yeah, I think I was also on the, I was working with some electronic stuff then.
Yeah.
I worked for 17 years with pedals.
So, okay. Yeah. So, but, yeah, so it's not...
but there was some of... I mean...
But some was yeah. totally
I mean,
new.
For me, yeah. I remember, like, we were me and Mitte, I think, at least, and Camilla also. We were just like, okay, we've never done this before. I borrowed a pedal from my boyfriend. And, like, I have this. And then I had, like, a vocal processor thing. They were just... Because then our first rehearsal was just that we all brought the gear that we had. And then we just sat in a circle and looked at what it did and tried to, like, okay, how does this sound with the voice? That's a bit exciting.
But we also had this... We didn't really, like... We were really thinking how to make this happen on stage. Like, yeah. we had different plans. Like, maybe we don't all need, like, a set of electronics. Maybe we could make, like, a more performative thing out
That's
of
true,
it.
Yeah.
And have, like, a set somewhere that we all could go and play in.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a lot of different scenarios. But now I think this is how we ended for now. Or this is how it works now with the Oracle setup still.
Yeah.
That we all have our... specific setup and then we know how it works and we use that but it's not something that we can't change. I think we are already talking about new things, so
in Ikki tradition.
Yeah, so we'll never stop
keeping the tradition by always changing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then you did the 10 years.
Oh yes.
That's true.
Anniversary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
true.
Where
but
masses
was,
came
yeah,
in.
Yeah, masses. Now that's like the new thing, I guess, for now.
Yeah, and also for the future.
For the future, and there, yes.
So what's masses? What do you mean with masses?
Maybe you want to tell about
I mean masses.
No, it's because they actually began it, and you know, I'm...
You're still a new member,
I mean,
but you are
Randi
not
has, yeah, you've been in the band now for steady for 1 year, right?
Yeah. But I was like...
We have been like in and out
since,
before. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Since the tour in
yeah.
Belgium. But like, yeah, so the masses was supposed to be our... Well, it wasn't supposed to be. It was our 10-year anniversary party because we were like, we have this band for 10 years. That's actually crazy. Like, that's so long for a band. Mm. And we really wanted to celebrate it. And so we... what of course started out as like, let's get together at a bar and have a party, ended up becoming like we're doing a full night of performances.
With all kinds
With
of
all
different
kinds
art forms, because we were,
yeah.
you know, we started thinking back and then we were like, yeah, but actually we did so much stuff and
yeah.
we never were just a band or
no.
like just a music group. We always worked with dancers and poets and
we had a lot of collaborations
extremely
yes.
yeah. many
yeah.
different things yeah
so we really wanted to kind of
connect it in
yeah. one evening which,
but it's about also all the senses or center
yeah
yes.
exactly
yeah.
yeah
so the whole
so masses is
it's a multi-sensory
sensorial
experience
yeah
that we we are still in developing phase for the masses number
Volumes.
Two
yeah.
that will happen next summer.
Mm.
But the first version was last year, and it was the 10-year anniversary
yeah.
thing. So we rented this big villa, and we had like 5 different rooms.
Four different rooms because Anna.
Yeah, Anna was very
yeah.
pregnant at that point. So
yeah, she was so
to...
pregnant that she couldn't join in the end,
yeah.
unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
But
it was really, it was a super amazing evening. It was, we were in the first part of, well, the very first part of the evening was Kristen Oskul, who did this like welcome ritual where he just did his Kristen Oskul thing and was like doing some kind of shaman. We told him to be shamanic, I think. That was like, do a like a welcome ritual. And he was like, got it. And it was like, of course, Kristen style, amazing and crazy at the same time. And after that, we split our audience into 4 different groups. And then we're led into each of the 4 of us, me and Johanna and Camilla or Julie. We were all in different rooms doing different collaborations with senses, I guess you could say. So I was in a room together with Nikolai Stockholm, the poet, and he was reading his poetry and I was improvising around what he did. And Julie was in a completely dark room, sitting alone in the darkness. And that was, of course, like to heighten your sense of hearing, like everything else gets shut off. Camilla was in a room with a lot of food.
Taste?
Yeah. The taste room? Yes. I've only heard rumors of what she did, but it sounded quite... it was wild.
It was good.
Yeah. Yeah, you were at the audience. You were.
I was in the audience. Yeah. That was good. Yeah. And you were...
I was with the dancer.
So we had like...
And then a concert in the end.
Yeah, like a concert together.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
the
point was like also... Really cool.
It was a really cool event, yes. Yeah. And we also, the audience had masks on.
Yeah.
So the whole point was actually to like...
Be a unit
also with the audience, mm-hmm. to enter into the house and then be emerged into the unity of...
Were these the masks you're wearing now? Or like also? They are super beautiful.
Yeah, we were wearing our own mask that Damselfrau... the mask designer made for us.
Yeah.
And then she also made this design for paper masks that we then printed out and like gave to the audience members.
Wonderful.
And, you said, like, it's also, it was really about trying to allow the audience to leave their own sense of self at home, you know, and really just be in it without having to think about who am I, you know, like the individuality kind of be left away. Of course, that's like hard to do, but that was kind of our goal, was this like very utopian sense of like, you're just a part of the crowds, you know?
Yeah, but we're looking forward to working on that concept a little further, because it ended up being a little challenging with the space that we rented and the time schedule. No, or like just the practicalities were at the end a little...
Hectic,
so to say, because we couldn't run through it, and it was, it sounds more like a theater piece almost, and then we just had to like make it happen very fast. So, but now in summer we have
8th, 9th, and 10th.
Yeah,
It seems
the jazz festival
in July.
July, 2021. Yeah,
hopefully.
Yes,
knock on everything.
Make the volume 2 happen.
Wonderful. Okay, and that would be also with different rooms, or
we're still hoping that's where it's going to be.
Yeah.
Can we say where it is?
Yeah, we can say it.
Yeah. It's going to be in Thorvaldsens Museum.
Okay. Yeah.
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 So we're now in December.
We're starting to work on it
and be like explore the space.
And all is of course the corona doesn't help to make
it's good that you already have an idea with masks.
Exactly.
You're totally ahead of your time.
everyone wears masks.
But so that's gonna be super fun, and I think like we said, like as a band we're always looking, we always enjoy like going deep into something.
Yeah.
And I think like for us now, this masses thing is like kind of a natural progression from like the unity thing that we did with Oracle, and then to just take that to the extreme and then include the audience into that as well.
Yeah. But it sounded a little bit like what you did for Meyer sounded like it had both components of the individuality in the beginning and then.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, yeah. And that was also, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, taking the individuality and then
bring present it together. That first and then put it into the
exactly.
And I think that's especially interesting to work with vocals and identity and all that world, because it's not so okay. Of course, there are choirs and stuff, but we're also like working on our own solo projects all the time, and there is this pressure of being some kind of product of a singer all the time.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe not in our genre, but anyways, like in the mainstream culture, it's very much there. So just to investigate a little closer to that.
If you're a singer in a free improv project with instruments, you very often get more attention. Mm. Like, I think there because the voice is so natural, we're taught to
everybody have a voice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We've talked about it in the beginning. Everyone relates to voice, so it's just like
Yeah.
And then then you so can understand that.
Mm. Mm.
But it's
but then we have a collaboration also with on Saturday.
Ah yeah, that's true.
With
with Maria Faust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's Great. Written a piece for us.
That we got 27 pages yesterday, almost. And,
Well,
we
it's
will
gonna,
take it.
Yeah. It's going
to
be.
You got the pages yesterday and the performance
will
be on Sunday.
Yeah, and
we
have to.
No, not the performance.
Not
the
performance.
Just
no,
the
no,
rehearsal.
No. We are, it's a rehearsal.
Wow.
And, and we're going to meet her for the first time with this collaboration.
Sight reading 27 pages.
I mean, been there, done that.
No,
no,
but that's very
that's, true,
that's
yeah.
going to be interesting
yeah.
to
so,
hear
so
her thoughts and
So there's always some things going on, even though it wouldn't be our own album coming. There's like a, it's all the time boiling with some other projects.
Yeah,
and I think also now like the difference, like in that's also the thing. Like we have this band for so long. Like in the beginning, we were all students. You know, we could do whatever we want to all the time, and now. We have to be a bit more focused, and I think we'd like to do more like project based also because I live in Belgium, so I always have to travel in, and then you become naturally more like this, we're gonna do this project now, we're gonna do this project at some point, we're gonna do like we're gonna make another album and that will be a project.
Yeah, there are a lot of ideas.
Yes. always
especially because we were on tour last week, so we have like been eating and done very nice things together, and we're saying, "Oh, we have to do this. Oh, this would be lovely." And so
A lot of good ideas over white wine.
Yes,
that's great. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, we should have you over to speak about all the new ideas at some point.
Yeah,
yeah,
that'd be great.
Yeah. But it's time, sadly, to call it an end.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here. This was super interesting, super cool.
Thank you for inviting us.
For invitation.
Yeah, thanks.
Yes.
And hope to hear again from you very soon.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.